Welcome. You're listening to a recording provided for the use of the blind and print impaired. Materials of items read on AIRS LA are the copyright property of the original authors and publishers. No unauthorized use or duplication is permitted. Today's articles are from the May 2026 edition. The Elusive Zonker by Alana Alhotlani. Somewhere between a pie and a cobbler, this North Carolina dessert reigns supreme. Defining a zonker has always been a challenge, even for North Carolina natives. A September 1986 story entitled Surrey's Elusive Zonker. Is it a sound or a shape? In the Greensboro News and Record, grappled with the term. Writer Jerry Bledsoe explained, what you and I probably call a cobbler, lots of people in Surrey County, and a few mountain spots call zonker. It's a deep dish pie with a crust. There's a lot of variation in the dessert, though some are made with a pie crust and others use a batter. You'll also find versions with breadcrumb-like toppings and others covered in pieces of dough that are similar to dumplings. Beneath the crust of choice, there's a syrupy fruit filling, usually berries, apples, or peaches, that's looser than most pies and cobblers. One notable outlier is the sweet potato zonker, which swaps the fruit for the South's favorite tuber. Another quirky feature is the dip. Not every zonker has one, but many are accompanied by a sauce of thickened milk or cream that's sweetened with sugar or molasses. It can include a touch of vanilla, too, and is either poured over the dish or served on the side. These varied styles can be sampled along the Surrey Zonker Trail, which highlights a string of local spots that make their own iterations of the regional dessert, such as Miss Angel's Heavenly Pies and Mount Airy. The good news is you don't have to travel to experience the zonker for yourself. Below, we've included our rendition, made with fresh, in-season blueberries, plus a batter topping for ease. This recipe doesn't include a dip, but we highly encourage piling on generous scoops of vanilla ice cream. Blueberry Zonker. Active 10 minutes. Total 1 hour 15 minutes. Serves 10. Stir together 8 cups fresh blueberries. 1/4 cup granulated sugar, 1 tablespoon cornstarch, and 1/4 teaspoon kosher salt in a 13 by 9 inch baking dish until the blueberries are coated. Top with 1/2 cup diced unsalted butter. Drizzle with 3 tablespoons fresh lemon juice and 1 tablespoon water. Bake at 400 degrees Fahrenheit until the berries begin to release liquid, about 15 minutes. Whisk together 1 cup each all-purpose flour and granulated sugar, 1 tablespoon baking powder, and 1/2 teaspoon kosher salt in a medium bowl until combined. Whisk in 1 cup whole milk and 1 teaspoon vanilla extract until smooth. Pour over the hot fruit mixture. Sprinkle with 1 tablespoon turbinado sugar. Reduce the oven temperature to 350 degrees Fahrenheit and bake until golden brown, 35 to 40 minutes. Let cool 15 minutes, then top with vanilla ice cream. A Lily by a Different Name. From Mother's Day to Father's Day, the Shoals Spider Lily pops up in full force across select southern states. By Teresa Masula McKay. For a long time, when someone asked me what my favorite flower was, I didn't have an answer. I'd race through a list of contenders in my head, daisies, irises, tulips, hoping to land on something, but nothing ever struck a chord. It wasn't until my now husband proposed in a field of spider lilies in 2017 that I found my favorite pick. Known as Cahaba lilies in Alabama, where we live, these uncommon beauties, also referred to as Shoals spider lilies, Rocky Shoals spider lilies, and Catawba lilies, depending on the zip code, have one defining feature, their evasiveness. They appear only in three states, Alabama, Georgia, and South Carolina, and under very specific conditions. Their ideal habitat is on rocky shoals set in swiftly flowing water with plenty of direct sun. But flooding from dam construction and other habitat loss have threatened their existence. The type of shoals they require is largely limited to the Cahaba River in central Alabama, the Catawba River in South Carolina, and the Broad Flint, Chattahoochee, and Savannah Rivers in Georgia. And it's not just the where that they're fussy about, it's also the when. Their entire season is about a month or less, typically from mid-May through mid-June, or from around Mother's Day to Father's Day. The plant is in the same family as amaryllis, and each blossom unfurls during early evening and lasts only about 24 hours. Blooms come 6 to 8 per stalk, but once a flower is spent, another won't take its place. It's a blink and you'll miss it situation that folks like Will Rainier and the Recreation and Stewardship Manager for the Cahaba River Coalition are working to make more accessible to all. This Birmingham nonprofit is devoted to restoring and protecting the river, its watershed, and its rich biodiversity, including 139 rare or imperiled species, of which the Cahaba lily is just one example. My goal is to get people acquainted with the Cahaba in the hopes that they'll fall in love with it, Rainier says. Whenever I talk to anyone, I always ask if they've been to the Cahaba, and if they have, they usually say, "I've been to see the lilies." I'll never forget my first time experiencing them, and not just because it coincided with the day I got engaged. As our canoe approached the initial cluster of blooms, the once glassy river became spotted with dense patches of green. Each island supported dozens of the paper-white blossoms, shooting out from beds of the grassy growth, lifting their cupped faces toward the sun. Pale, spider-like legs flared from each flower's corona, creating an otherworldly appearance as they blew gently in the wind. The fact that you can't pick up a bouquet of Cahaba lilies at the grocery store is just another reason to cherish them. I'd much rather have the excuse to spend a day outside marveling at the ethereal existence of these aquatic wonders. It's a special kind of magic that I attempted to share with my daughter, Mia, last year. She was born 3 days before Mother's Day, right in time for the plant's short season. After we'd spent a few weeks in our newborn bubble, I was determined to have a family adventure. So I strapped her tiny body safely against my chest and set out in the early summer heat to walk the river and find them. We came up short, but we'll try again this year. Only on her second trip, she'll be walking next to me on the hunt for her mother's favorite flower. Hide and go seek. How to scope out these lilies in each state where they grow. Alabama. The Cahaba River runs through central Alabama, roughly from Selma to Trussville, offering pretty pockets of flowers across many access points. One of the best places to see them is at the Cahaba River National Wildlife Refuge in West Blocton, which also hosts an annual festival dedicated to the plant each May. Within the refuge, visitors can spot them without ever having to leave the banks, thanks to plenty of trails, as well as new viewing platforms. To get a closer look at these precious gems, you can sign up for one of the Cahaba River Coalition's weekend canoe tours. South Carolina. The Old English District, a region in north-central part of the state, claims to have the largest crop of native shoals spider lilies in the world. Walk the 1.5-mile canal trail at Lansford Canal State Park for an unforgettable view of the blooms. Learn more by taking a ranger-led hike during peak season or by registering for the paddling outing with the Catawba River Keeper. Georgia. These lilies reside on several waterways in Georgia, including the Savannah, Flint, Chattahoochee, and Broad Rivers. Be sure to check with organizations such as the Broad River Watershed Association, the Chattahoochee River Keeper, and the Chattahoochee River Conservancy for guided excursion opportunities. Bring on the burgoo. Nowadays, this classic stew is hard to find at Churchill Downs, but it's a true Derby staple, by Ivy Odom. The first time I tasted burgoo was at the Governor's Derby celebration the night before the 148th running of the Kentucky Derby. I remember the big cauldron bubbling as bowls were ladled full of the savory medley of meat and vegetables. By looks alone, it resembled the Brunswick stews of my South Georgia childhood, and one slurp confirmed it was indeed a close relative. Back home, this dish is usually served in the fall and winter or as a side with barbecue. So I was surprised to see something similar at one of the South's biggest black tie events. I'd been to Derby parties before, where I'd enjoyed everything from Benedictine tea sandwiches and hot browns to beer cheese with crudites. And while the murky brown stew didn't seem like the typical fare, I quickly learned that it's long been a quintessential component of the Derby season. Once served to the masses at regional livestock sales centuries ago, it became a standby in the early years of racing at Churchill Downs. These days, you'd be hard-pressed to track down burgoo at the track, but nearly every Derby party in the Bluegrass State will have a pot. Since Brunswick stew was a big part of my Georgia's childhood, my mama's recipe won blue ribbons, I wanted to try my hand at its Kentucky cousin. Real deal burgoo cooks will tell you that my version makes way too small a batch to be considered legit. But I say it's just enough to get a true taste of the Derby from afar. If you're like me and plan on celebrating this year, think beyond Benedictine. Pull out your big hat and your big pot and put on the burgoo. Burgoo basics. My top tips for a perfect pot of the storage stew. Pick a trio. Many say that three different meats should be used for it to be authentic, but the combos vary. Most pick pork, beef, or lamb, and chicken, though plenty include rabbit, venison, or squirrel. Let it rest. The longer burgoo sits, the better it tastes. So make it a few days ahead and heat it back up just before serving. Derby burgoo, active 40 minutes, total 2 hours, 55 minutes, serves 10. 3 tablespoons canola oil, 1 1/2 pounds boneless pork shoulder, cut into 1 1/2 inch pieces, 1 pound boneless chuck roast, cut into 1 1/2 inch pieces, 1 pound boneless skinless chicken thighs, cut into 1 1/2 inch pieces. 2 cups chopped sweet onion from 1 large onion. 1 cup chopped red bell pepper, about 1 pepper. 1 cup chopped carrots from 2 peeled carrots. 1 cup chopped celery from 3 stalks. 2 tablespoons finely chopped garlic from 6 garlic cloves. 4 teaspoons kosher salt. 2 teaspoons smoked paprika, 2 dried thyme leaves, 1 28-ounce can of crushed tomatoes, 1 15-ounce can of fire-roasted diced tomatoes, 1 10 1/2-ounce can of beef consomme, 3 tablespoons Worcestershire sauce, 1 1/2 cups peeled, chopped russet potato, 1 large potato, 1 1/2 cups frozen baby lima beans from 1 15-ounce bag, 6 to 8 cups lower sodium chicken broth divided, 1 cup frozen yellow corn from 1 15-ounce bag, 1 cup frozen cut okra from 1 15-ounce bag, 1 tablespoon apple cider vinegar, 2 teaspoons granulated sugar, and chopped fresh flat-leaf parsley. Step 1. Heat the oil in a large 8-quart Dutch oven over medium-high. Working in batches, add the meat and cook until browned on all sides, about 4 to 6 minutes per batch. Transfer the browned meat to a plate and set aside. Step 2. Reserve 2 tablespoons of the drippings in the Dutch oven. Discard the remaining drippings. Add the onion, bell pepper, carrots, and celery to drippings in the Dutch oven and cook over medium-high until they begin to soften, about 6 minutes. Add the garlic, salt, smoked paprika, and bay leaves, and cook until the garlic is fragrant, about 1 minute. Step 3. Add browned meat and any accumulated juices to the Dutch oven. Stir in the crushed tomatoes, diced tomatoes, beef consommé, Worcestershire sauce, potatoes, lima beans, and 6 cups of the broth. Bring to a boil over medium-high, then reduce the heat to low and simmer, stirring occasionally until the meat is tender, about 1 hour 45 minutes, adding more broth, 1 cup at a time, for the desired thickness. Step 4. Stir corn, okra, apple cider vinegar, and the sugar into the Dutch oven. Cook until tender, and the burgoo is reduced just slightly, about 30 minutes. Skim off the fat if desired. Step 5. Ladle evenly into bowls and garnish with parsley just before serving. We have come to the end of our program. I'm Joyce Davis, and I will be back soon.